I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And a moment of silence, please. All right, thanks, Erica. So we'll call the November 26, 2018 DMA board meeting to order with an established quorum. I will let folks know that at the end of the official business of the board meeting, I will ask the administration and staff to step out so we can discuss a personnel matter in executive session. So we'll do that at the end. That being said, approval. Al is not here tonight, so Tony's graciously agreed to take minutes. Thank you. Approval of the October minutes. Any concerns?
The only question I have is page four, the summary of the motion on the St. Matthew's purchase. It says here, consistent with discussion of the evening, with support of Red Clay Consolidated School District by December 2018. I think the discussion said get the support of Red Clay, and if not Red Clay, there was the alternative potential charter. So I would just strike that with support of Red Clay Consolidated School District by December 2018, and I think the rest is fine.
Agreed. So we'll make that change. Anything else? Thanks, Mike.
Just if we're making corrections, Barbara Kane. The chair's person report is spelled wrong, and they read the minutes every year, so.
That's important, right? So we'll make that change. Do you have that one, Tony? Anything else? So can I get a motion to approve the October minutes as modified with those two corrections?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained. All right. Thanks. So from a chair's report perspective, most of it we'll cover when Anthony does his report, both a discussion of St. Matthew's and a discussion of the stadium. So we'll just combine those two reports. So Anthony, do you want to start with your regular commandant's report, and then we'll go on to those other two specific topics?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Just as far as, I'm sorry for getting this out a little late to you guys today, but just basically, you know, what's going on as far as focus areas being addressed. Obviously, the application window is now open for school choice. As of today, we had 160 completed applications at this time. I asked Donna where that stood in relation to last year, and she felt like we were about 20 to 30 higher than we normally are. But she said, you know, she's got to go back and take a closer look. But overall, I think that the same amount of applications we're usually receiving were on par as normal. We did have a meeting with Red Clay in November in regards to two topics. One was the Red Clay admissions policy, which we gave to them, and they accepted. And really, the only change to the policy was now there's two essays that you can do. The second essay, basically, you're filling out if you want to be considered for specific interest. Because what it really all boils down to is anybody should be able to interview if they want to be able to interview. That's really what it boils down to is. Everybody should have a chance. So even if they don't fill out the essay questions, there's a part in there that they can call to receive an interview. Am I saying that right, Ashley? That's right, isn't it? Okay. So it is what it is. That's the process that we got to go through. I think the interview process this year will be very long. We've actually even got Ken to help us now with the interview process. He's been sitting in all those meetings, so he's real familiar with the process as well. So he'll be interviewing with us as well, but it takes out the entire administrative team for several weeks doing these interviews, at least a couple times a week for 3 to 4 weeks. So we're going to look at it as it gets closer to Christmas time. That's usually when we do the first round of interviews, and if it looks like the numbers are just a little bit over the top. We may do a Saturday where we bring people in and do interviews similar to like Conrad does in the mess hall and just kind of run them through. They did agree to, you know, they accepted the cut score of 21 out of 27, which equals about a 78%. So we'll just have to see. And if we have 300 Red Clay kids that are applying and 250 of them meet the cut score of 21 or above, those 250 names go into the lottery. The school choice, we don't do our own lottery anymore. The school choice will do the lottery, but that's just how it'll get pulled, is just randomly at that point. So all in all, I mean, it didn't change significantly, but it changed enough to just make it more of a laborious process. And then the other part of that meeting that day was we discussed the St. Matthews, the St. Matthews idea and the opportunity to purchase St. Matthews. And they received a shortened version of the PowerPoint and presentation. We didn't get into all the financials and, you know, we didn't go as in detail as we did with the board. But they seemed open to it when we discussed it. A lot of the topic came around, you know, who the new superintendent is going to be. My guess is Dr. Brumall, but we'll have to see. But they did say that will be one of the first things on the docket is DMA switching from a 9 through 12 to a 6 through 12, and they did ask us to begin putting in the modification. So more to follow on that, and it's really going to boil down to their board, which, by the way, I did invite their board out to a Thursday morning formation, and I received responses back, but none of them can attend. They work. So most, you know, some of them are school teachers, some of them are professors at Dell State, but three of the seven did respond and say they thanked me, but said they couldn't come. So we
won't
be doing
anything.
I think
the good news is they seem pretty open to the idea of the middle school and relatively supportive. I think they're in a mode of inertia and not doing anything that resembles a decision greater than, you know, the simple stuff until the new superintendent is named. And so they're not gonna, I think, be committal one direction or another until that happens in February. So all signs, I think, are positive, but until the February 13th date, I think they're not going to really move on anything of great significance.
Right. Agreed. We had our Veterans Day breakfast on November 9th. I believe that day, what year is that? The 8th, 9th, or 10th? We've been doing it for a while.
That was the 8th.
The 8th year. And it's gone really well. I do want to bring it back to DMA, though. It's nice that Five Points lets us use their facility. And I think it makes it a little bit easier with the kitchen there, but I think it has more of a impact when it's here at DMA. So that'll be something we discuss going forward. We also had the final meeting with Ellis and Rosa, the foundation. Ashley and Ken went to do the final meet on the 19th at 9 o'clock. It was a formality at that point. It's you're giving them the review of what we did a month prior or a month and a half prior. And all indications seem positive. They really seem to like us. They liked our presentation. I think they believe in what we're doing at this school. And we're just waiting to hear now. They did mention in the meeting the ask was more than what they had thought it would be, and he said that was okay. But he also said, you know, if we're able to do this, it would be in two parts like their other grant was. So I think we did all we could in order to impress them and to, you know, to try and get them to continue to give. I think they will. Just we're waiting to find out. Last year it was around the Thanksgiving period that we found out. I don't remember if it was before or after Thanksgiving, but we should be finding out shortly on that. And that would be a home run for DMA if we secure that funding.
Anthony's at Murray Sawyer.
That's with Murray Sawyer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the next thing is I plan on, in the new year, opening up the lines of communication again with Crystal Trust. I think we'll have some more things in place. I'll try and get Pat out here to come back to see DMA. She hasn't been here to see the dome or what we did with their funding. So we'll begin to talk back again to Crystal Trust and get them involved. And then as far as academic and programmatic updates go, we had our open house the October 27th. Last day of the marking period was October 31st. Report cards have gone out. 65% of our cadets earned honors or high honors for the first marking period. We thought that was really good. We do have some cadets who are struggling, but it's not a very large number, but we still will be meeting with them. We'll hold academic review board meetings. Those meetings do seem to help. We put some additional assistance in place. We bring the parents all in for that, and it's more of a how can we help you succeed here at DMA? And so that we'll do that November 28th.
So, Anthony, is there any concern about such a high percentage of people? I mean, that's beyond the normal bell curve of percentage of students achieving honors or high honors.
Yeah, Ashley and I kind of talked about that today, not in regards to that number being high, because I asked Deb, is that number high? And she said she had to go back and look at the data. But it didn't see, I don't know if that's a high number or not, because we were talking about how difficult the freshman year is for some of these cadets. And I think maybe, the ninth grade year may be the hardest year, and it could just be the teachers that we have teaching the ninth grade. Not that they're doing a bad job, it's just I think there's a lot of rigor involved with the ninth grade academics, and I don't know if it just gets a little bit easier as it goes. But I don't know if that number seems high or not. But we're looking at that.
Yeah, and I only ask because the report I just read and signed talked about one of the opportunities is, the percentage of students who struggle with math, yet you've got these really high honor scores, and so that doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily seem to
I think some of it could be, I mean, it depends on what you're taking. Like, as far as naval science goes, that really should be an A for every kid at DMA. Which boosts up your GPA. So that's a non-academic course that they receive credit for. If they have phys ed the first marking period, it kind of just depends on what your schedule is. Some kids are taking three majors the first marking period. It's a little bit more difficult for them. But we'll do a little bit more exploring. Maybe we can make that part of the academic excellence.
Well, I think it's worth looking at only because I would not want it to be perceived as a sign of lack of rigor.
Oh, yeah, totally. No, I agree.
What was the percentage last year? Do you know?
No, I don't. I asked Deb about that the other day. So I'll be getting that information now.
So. Any of the students that struggle, do they come from Hall Elementary, or do they come from a certain school? Or
It's kind of all over. It's 30 middle.
Yeah, you need Dave's bus.
No way. Nice shot, Joe.
What did you say? They came from where?
Call Elementary.
Oh, Call Elementary. I like it, Joe. Little shot.
When I was on the board of Padua, we knew that if kids came from this school, immediately, we put them in a math class because we knew they just couldn't handle the load.
Yeah, I mean,
there are a handful. The kids come from 30 different middle schools, but there are a handful, which I won't name, that we know if they're coming from there, they're going to struggle with math. Okay. If they're coming from there, they're going to struggle with English. So we
get ready for it.
Interventions in place ahead of time.
Yeah. And then lastly, on academic update, we did share with the staff on November 13th, we updated them on where we are currently with the St. Matthews deal. And they received the shorter presentation as well, but just to keep them in the loop as to what's happening with that. There's a Sports Booster pancake breakfast on December 8th. If you guys have an opportunity to stop by, there'll be spirit wear out there. It's breakfast with Santa, so there's pancakes and it's a nice event. There's music going on. PTA meeting is this Thursday, and DMA Music Association meeting is December 11th. And as you can see, there's some volunteer opportunities that the cadets are all getting involved in. And as far as strategic items requiring board discussion, there is none at this point.
So with the exception of the impending discussion on St. Matt's in the stadium. Any questions for Anthony on this report? All right. You want to talk about our meeting with the small task force and where we landed with St. Matthews?
Yeah. So we had a subcommittee meeting group on November 15th to discuss in further detail the draft of sale that Tony gave to us to review. Thank you, Mike, Sharon, for attending.
Ed.
As it was important to go through, you know, what basically we talked a lot about what the contingencies were and what contingencies we needed to have. Ed brought up a lot of good points about the environmentals and things that we need to do with respect to that. And then we talked a lot about hiring a real estate attorney to draft up this or to write up this draft of sale, so it was exactly what we would need. And what we came out of that with was we basically have to, we cannot go to the settlement table until we know more from Red Clay. Even though Red Clay doesn't, you know, is not the make it or break it, we definitely want to find out if we're going to be supported by Red Clay on this initiative before purchasing a building and then having to go through all the hoops of chartering under the state. So Red Clay does play a big part in this. And there's no reason to not feel optimistic that they aren't going to support it. But we need to put into the contingencies that, you know, that has to be one of the contingencies is we can't go to settlement until after that. And then the other big contingency was finding out until we hire a construction company to find out exactly what the environmental cost would be to us, as well as what the cost would be. We did do the initial report through the one company, but that just gave us a basic overall picture. We need to get a little bit more into detail and find out exactly what it would cost us. I mean, I think we're in the right neighborhood of what the cost would be, but that's kind of one of the big things, Tony, that we'll have to find out. We're looking at, I believe we said we would be comfortable with a settlement date September of 19, I believe. I think that's what we were shooting for, just because we still have to go through the process with Red Clay. We have to go through our charter renewal, and that's not something that they do overnight. It's a process.
I think we spoke in terms of contingency, and then settlement would be 30 days thereafter, or
right.
Certain or whatever.
Right.
It was sometime kind of towards.
So I think the way we wanted those contingencies to read is we need a different level of granularity around what the potential expenses are toward remediation and construction in the building, and then the time for Red Clay to be able to make their decision, and then 30 days post the satisfaction of those contingencies, or earlier if those contingencies are met at an earlier date, knowing that the Red Clay piece is going to probably take the longest period of time, but the due diligence around the condition of the building and the potential construction costs are, you know, pretty important to understand before we take that step forward to settlement.
Right, and then finding that out, that'd be helpful to bring to Longwood as well, so they at least know what kind of number we're, you know, maybe not the whole number, but they can be in the ballpark of what we're looking for funding-wise or how they can assist us. And finally, we were looking for a real estate attorney. So Sharon shared a contact that she had, and obviously I spoke with, you know, Tony about all of this, and the attorney that he uses is not a real estate attorney, but one of the attorneys in his office, Mamarella, I believe, with Pete Gordon, is in there. And he said, he said he'll probably just be able to get the guy to do it. Which, you know, I mean, if we could save the money on hiring an attorney, that would be good. So I'll see what that guy has to say. So I'll reach out to the one you sent me and the other one.
Yeah, just to clarify, so Tom Mamarella is a real estate attorney with Gordon Fornius, and so he's a licensed attorney.
Yeah, so we could, you know, hopefully we can use him, and, you know, I mean, Tony didn't just come right out and say we'll do it for free, but He said
a few years ago, not 10 to
Right, right. Not Tony Berrigo.
No, Tom Brown was excellent.
Yeah, so we'll get working on that, and I know that we're already getting the ball moving on what needs to be turned into red clay for modifications. So we got our hands full, definitely, with a lot of things going on. But that was St. Matthew's.
Yeah, and so I think the work is underway in sort of those three streams, right? The agreement of sale being modified to read the way we would want it to read, the start of the work on the due diligence around the building, and then the start of the work on the charter modification for red clay. So all of that's going to take time, and you know, I've asked Anthony at subsequent board meetings that you know there may not be salient updates in any of those three streams, but to just you know bring those forward as they occur so that the group is aware of where we are in each of those paths as we go down.
Tony, I mean, since you're here and you've heard, you know, what these things are, I mean, is there anything that you see that you could see as a potential problem, or?
I don't think the contingencies are a problem. As mentioned, I think the time frame will be an issue. We're going to keep it off the market for about a year. That might be a situation that they would be uncomfortable with.
Okay.
Yeah.
And kind of piggyback, I think that one of the things should be a priority is getting the agreement of sale prepared and signed. And so that should be the priority sooner rather than later. And then we can kind of work on executing on the contingencies.
Okay. So we'll
I think, Tony, the agreement of sale, you know, we can move pretty quickly. I even think the building due diligence is not, I mean, the holidays will interfere a little bit, but I think it's not a big deal. You know, it's red clay that we don't have any control over their timing. And so if we can get everything else wrapped up, you know, we're kind of at the mercy of red clay for the modifications to the charter.
I think, handily, for some of the time frames can work in our benefit, when I say our benefit, because there are going to be some improvements that have to be made there. And they're going to be made prior to a September time frame. So I think that'll work in our best interest also.
Okay, yeah. Good.
So I think good work, and I think after you know, maybe end of January, early February, we'll pull the small group back together to see how things are proceeding and what else we might need to do.
So thank you, Mike, Ed, Ken, Sharon, for being a part of that.
And Heath was there in spirit, but was in England, Barbados, or the Dominican. I can't keep track of which one they were. But
it was in Napa.
Napa. Oh, sorry.
You guys are tough.
Yeah, it was.
You were there in spirit. Yeah. We channeled your financial energy during
I was
the
thinking about you.
Yeah.
All right, any questions on St. Matthew's and where we are?
So what's the goal to have an agreement sale done by? Do we have a date for that, at least?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, shortly after the holidays, we'd like to get this wrapped up in January.
I would just say sooner
than
better.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Right. Just get it documented, get an agreement signed.
Yeah, we can probably do that rather quickly. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know about an actual date, but soon.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then that leads me into where we are with the stadium update.
We're working on it.
What'd you say?
I asked me, "Was Bill yet?"
Have you didn't see it?
In process.
it's in process. So we did have a meeting. One of the last meeting we had. I know that you guys met on the 19th, I believe. I wasn't there for that meeting, but the meeting prior to that, one of the main topic was we had asked Emery Hill to go out and bid certain trades. One of them being the lighting. One of them being the site work, and the other one I believe we did was the plumbing.
Bleacher seating.
And what came back was, you know, as far as the site work goes, which was one of the biggest ones, I mean, it's Cirillo is the lowest bid, and he's probably, I mean, in my opinion, probably the best one. But it was good to know that, you know, that number wasn't inflated.
The bidding was very tight, so we knew that the numbers were good.
Yeah.
I guess, look, in hindsight, you know, hindsight being 20/20, I mean, there just wasn't enough of the plans done when they gave that initial number of 50,000. Like, it just wasn't enough to be there, which, you know, obviously took the budget over. It took us way over the budget. But... anyhow, so we did that on the site work. We did save some money on the electrical. We are going with Tusi Brothers, who's been, who's done some work around DMA. And Fran Tusi was here, and he went through all the plans in really good detail in regards to exactly what was going to be there. He took his time with it. He explained everything, you know, really well. So real comfortable with Tusi Brothers. One of the challenges now that we face is, and this is real interesting stuff, guys, I'm telling you, is with the lighting, and I'm learning all about this, is foot candles. And I don't know if you guys know anything about foot candles, but foot candles is the amount of lighting that comes off of the poles so that you can see the field. So right now we're scheduled, you know, the poles that we're getting in are Musco poles, which that's the industry one that you're supposed to go with. But we're at 30-foot candles. And the concern is 30-foot candles enough for night games if you're playing lacrosse? Because I think the ball gets lost. But if you move up to 50-foot candles, it's like a $68,000 jump to move from 30-foot candle to 50-foot candle. So Dave and I went around to several schools, you know, asking them, most of the schools...
About their foot candles?
About their foot candles. They looked at us like we were crazy. But most of the stadiums that we went, they don't have LED. They're still working on the, what's that called? The sodium...
The old stuff.
Yeah. Not LED. So we need to find...
So get the light candles for the opposing team side.
That's right. There you go. We'll do two. That's right. But really, I don't think it's...
Or just don't play night games.
Well, that's what we said. The only team... It's not a problem for football or soccer. It's only for lacrosse, and they really don't play any night games. So I can't see spending an additional $70,000. And I don't even know if it's not going to be bright enough, because he brought pictures, and, I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell you which one was 50-foot candle, and they looked pretty much the same to me. But we're going through that process. And then finally, the biggest thing was the bleachers. And what it boiled down to is, again, the people that I think were using for the bleachers, Southern, they were the lowest. They were the lowest bid. But the problem is, when you're talking about a 2,000-seat stadium, when you start taking away seats at $250 a seat, you can save a lot of money pretty quickly. And basically what's happened is we value-engineered the stadium down to a 1,200-seat stadium, which really is going to be fine for DMA. I think maybe a little bit over the top with the 2,000 seats. You know, Caravel seats, I think 1,200 or 1,300, and that stadium is big. So I think
rarely
we'll be
filled.
Which is rarely, yeah, and it's rarely filled. I mean, I'm sure we'll have some games that will fill the place, but on an average, you know, we'll probably have 500-600 people there. So I think we'll be fine with shrinking the stadium down seat-wise, and they are working on making a more quality bleacher. So a two-tone type of bleacher, I think it'll look really nice, and he's talking about putting a VIP section on the 50-yard line where they're actual, you know, stadium seats instead of just a bench that you're sitting on. So all in all, I think we've gotten to where we've brought the budget back in line. We're still over the $2.25 million by, I think, $100,000 maybe, or $75,000.
Yeah, $100,000 at the most.
Yeah, so we're not terribly off. And like I said, you know, if this grant comes through, we've already prepared for it. But I think we're in a good place. The timeline has been set for April 1st to August 1st. And I know that Mike Eichelman is working very hard to get whatever construction he can get done now finished, so that basically come April, it's the turf guys in there getting this rolled out and set, and, you know, the little things that have to get done, but not a bunch of big heavy equipment running around there. You know, so all in all, maybe, you know, it was for the best that it got delayed a year. I don't think it was anything, you know, disastrous. You know, we were just pushing fast, and sometimes I think you got to take a step back. So we're excited for it, and that'll be something to look forward to opening up for, you know, the fall of 2019.
I think we're in a really good place, both budgetarily and time-wise.
Yeah.
So thanks for all your work in getting us realigned.
Awesome.
And back on the right track.
Yeah. Did I miss anything, Bob?
The only thing I would add is that we kept an option in that sometime in the future, if we wanted to expand the stadium, that option is still there.
Yes.
We're not limited to just the 1,200
right.
seats. So.
Yeah, you can add them in. It's
right,
kind of like roughed in for
yeah.
it. So.
Do we need any approvals for lighting or additional lighting by the county? Because
it's all within the same permitting process, so that will that'll all go together.
Yeah, it seems like that's one of the biggest complaints when we go for any kind of development with neighbors come out.
Yeah, we're definitely expecting the neighbors to, you know, especially when it first opens up, because it's going to be so new. Everybody's going to want to come see it. But we're preparing for that. I mean, we'll have additional police on site. I mean, we really do have that security car that we plan on wrapping in DMA security. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll drive that through the neighborhood and make sure,
there'll
you know,
be a board rotation. So if you can
yeah,
sign up,
so
you're,
if you can sign
up. You're driving
right.
Game now. Right. That'll be...
There's 6 to 7, 7 to 8.
It's all right. It's like beer in the back.
Be sure to bring your insurance card and make sure it's paid up.
But, you know, we'll prepare for that. We'll make sure that we have plenty of presence here. And, you know, we'll do the best to, you know, not have people in the neighborhood. But it's going to happen. It happens at any neighborhood that has a school around it. I grew up in Highland West, and when there was a game, there was people parked in your neighborhood. It's just how it went. So,
well, I would suggest prior to the opening of the statement, too, we probably do some sort of community meeting, town hall, just to prepare them and assure the neighbors that you've got it under control in terms of trash and security and noise.
Absolutely.
And all that kind of stuff. All right. Anything else for Anthony? Great.
Sounds good.
Right. Moving on, Keith.
In your package, you should have the financials through the first 4 months. The Finance Committee met November 12th and discussed the financials and the variances. We were comfortable with the financials. So we're about 33%, 33 and a third percent through our budget year currently. And we've received $4.4 million, or 62% of our anticipated revenue for the year. Compares to the same percentage as the prior year. So that's primarily due to the preload that we get on the local and state funding. In terms of where we are from a disbursement standpoint, we're 39.8% of the budget. And a couple things. Generally speaking, we pay our debt service in the first month of the year, so that's what skews it. If you factor the debt prorated over the year evenly, we would be at 32% of our budget, so it's in line. The only other things from last month to the current month, if you were looking at these, would be operations and maintenance. I think that jumped from or at least compared to the prior year, was it 31% of our budget in the prior year? We're at 63%. The big thing is we funded our capital repair improvement reserve with the $75,000 payment, so that came through in the month of October. And the other item is professional fees, but that's skewed just because our auditors did their services, and that's the primary line item. Otherwise, everything in the budget is in line with expectations.
Questions? All right. Hearing none, can we get a motion to accept the October financial statements?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained. And Heath, just for the record, Citizens Budget Oversight was absorbed into the Finance
Correct.
Committee meeting. We can make sure that's in the minutes. All right, moving on to committee reports, academic excellence. Ashley?
This is the time of year where we are awaiting a lot of data from recent tests. So the PSAT 8-9 that the freshmen took, the PSAT NMS QT that the juniors took. We'll be getting that over the next couple weeks, compiling it, and then the committee will meet in January to review that and any other questions that come up between now and then.
Great. Ed, governance?
Yeah, I have a list of the expiring terms for board members. I just want to make sure they're accurate before I put the committee together to look at board members for next year. So if you can take a look at the list, and this is the list that I have to the best of my knowledge. So you start out with a one-year term, and then once you get through your first year, if you are nominated forward, you get 2 3-year terms. So you'll see on there that there's a couple people that have final terms coming up next year. There's a first 3-year term, and when that first 3-year term expires, and then, Mike, you have a 1-year term, which will come up at the end of this year. So unless I'm wrong, this is the list that I have, And if I'm wrong, please correct me. And otherwise, Sharon, I'll put the committee together in January. I don't see anybody that's going off this year. So I guess the discussion will be whether or not we want to add additional board members or whether we just want to hold firm until the three of us rotate off at the end of next year. And that's a discussion we can have after January. So that'll be the next move forward. But just wanted to make sure I was on the same page with everybody and everybody knows where they are with their terms.
All right, so if you don't think yours is right, if you could let Ed know, that would be great, and we'll update the list. But this looks pretty close to our target.
So when it's when it says first three-year term, that means they...
That's when their first three-year term will end.
Oh, okay. And then they start their second one, right?
Correct.
Or they opt to not their second one and resign at the end of the first-year term. Correct.
Did you have something, Joe?
Just a question. Is there a skill set based on the next 2 to 3 years? Is there a skill set that we don't have represented on the board that we need to go out and find one of them? It's just something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that the committee will discuss when we meet in January. I just wanted to make sure I was making sure that who was going to be rotating off this year and how many slots we had to fill before we do that. And then we'll talk about specific industries, and then we can start selecting resumes and wrap it up by June.
Great, thanks. Christy, anything for alumni?
Nothing new, right?
All right. Any old business not reflected on the agenda? New business? Comment from the public? None. So with that, I'm going to ask for a motion to move us to executive session. Again, I'll ask the staff and the administration to step out because this is a personnel matter, and then we'll bring you back in as we can.
Sorry, guys, I did want to mention one more thing. DMA was nominated in the 2018 Excellence in Construction Awards. You can see our dome is on the front page. This had nothing to do with Ed, honestly. They have judges that go out and tour new buildings, new construction. And DMA was named honored with an excellence in the under $10 million category. So I'll just leave a couple of these around if you guys want to take a look at it. But a nice little perk for DMA.
Awesome. Can I get that motion to go into executive session?
Yeah,
second. All right. Thank you.
You didn't vote on it. You didn't vote on the motion.
We typically don't when we go into executive session.
So right.
There's a green. All right. So executive session over. Any other items for business?
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Have a good night, everybody. All right.